In his recent apostolic exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel, Pope Francis talks about how we might evangelize. He says, evangelization and the new evangelization is not principally about adding new programs or more programs. He proposes the idea of encounter, meeting a person right where he or she is at, speaking with them, dialoguing with them, especially in the truth, and little by little through our conversation with them, bringing them to faith, to know what we know, which is the joy of Jesus Christ, and then sharing that faith with others. This idea of encounter is not a new one. In fact, that is the model that Jesus gives us in our gospel. Jesus goes to the margins of society, and he speaks with a Samaritan woman. Jews, after all, had nothing to do with Samaritan women. And he spoke to her. And he spoke to her in truth. And he did not judge her, but he spoke to her in truth. And she spoke back to him, for she was coming day after day to that well, and it was a burden for her. On the outside, her burden was that she had to draw water. But on the inside, she carried a greater burden, the burden of sin. And she thirsted for water to quench her tiredness, her thirst. And Jesus thirsted as well for her faith. And so he engaged her in dialogue, in truth. Jesus did not ignore her burden. He called it for what it was, but he did not judge her, and he brought her to faith. And we see little by little, the woman says, begins to trust Jesus and engage him more and more. At first she calls him Sir, then she calls him Prophet. Later on she calls him the Christ. And she goes and tells others about Jesus. He told me everything I have done. But perhaps the most striking line of this long gospel is, she left her jar there. Her burden was put aside. She left her jar there. Jesus forgave her sins and gave her life-giving water. He changed her life. He made for her everything new. And that's what Jesus can do for us and for our world. What a difference it makes when we encounter the Lord Jesus, when we listen to him, when we talk to him. He takes away our burdens. He forgives our sins. He makes everything new. Many years ago, I remember after I first moved to Cincinnati, an encounter I had with a priest in a church. He preached a homily, and after the Mass, I wanted to have words with him because what he preached was contrary to the Catholic faith. So I went back to the sacristy, and I started to talk to him. And the more and more I talked to him, the more and more agitated I became. And it was the only time in my life where my faith was truly shaken. And so I thought about for a brief moment saying, well, this can't be the church in which I was raised. And then I remembered the words of an Irishman. He said, if an Irishman doesn't like the bartender, does he give up drinking? And he said, no, he just goes to the next pub up the road. And the next pub up the road from where I live near UC's campus was Sacred Heart Italian Church. And the first time I went into that church, the priest was celebrating his 50th anniversary as a priest. He was 75 years old, Father Mario Rauzi. He came to the United States in 1945, knowing no English at all. And his pastor told him they didn't have room for him at the church. He would have to live in an apartment, and that he really didn't want him there. And at the end of his first week, his pastor had a heart attack, and he was on his own, knowing no English. Father Mario stayed there, and he stayed in the United States, and he retired in September at age 93. From Sacred Heart. His replacement, Father Vincent, is 84. Father Vincent, about 1 month ago, announced that he would retire on June 30th, and that the Scalabrini fathers, who have been in Cincinnati for 120 years, would give the parish back to the diocese because there are no more priests to say Mass. That was my parish when I decided to enter the seminary, the place where my vocation was born. The place where one of Sean Wilson's classmates, Alex McCullough, he served my first Mass at that parish, where his vocation was born. Without a priest, that parish was in danger of being closed or given over to someone else, and the Italian parishioners who are down there would be just sort of chucked out on the street. The Latin Mass community is down there as well, and they were wondering about their future. When I was in the seminary, a parish where I had been was Holy Angels on Grandin Road. Monsignor Amon, my mentor, retired, and they closed the parish church, and that church was torn down. I couldn't bear to see that happen again to the place and to the parish where my vocation was born. And so I wrote a letter to Bishop Binzer saying, you know, I can't believe this is happening. Surely you or the Archbishop can do something. And I was downtown at the Archdiocesan offices for something else, and Bishop Binzer said, oh, you have a minute, which turned into a 30-minute conversation, which went something like this. Could the Archbishop put on the table that you would become the administrator of Sacred Heart Italian Church? And he said, before you answer that, I want you to think of what you would have to give up. And I said, well, obviously, and most significantly, would be my ministry at Guardian Angels. I said, I love the people there. I love Father King. They've been nothing but gracious and kind. I said, but I promised the Archbishop respect and obedience, and so tell the Archbishop he can put that on the table. About a week later, Bishop Binzer called me to say that the Archbishop wanted to appoint me, effective July 1st, to be the administrator of Sacred Heart Church down in Camp Washington. What that means is that at the end of June, my ministry at Guardian Angels here will be completed. Sadly, I will have to leave all of you, whom I love very, very much. I take some consolation knowing that my classmate, Father Anthony Brausch, will come here to say Mass and to help Father King. Father Brausch is a great priest. He's my classmate. He's a clearer thinker than I am. He preaches better than I do. He can actually sing. He sings very well. He's very handsome, and he chops down trees like no one I've ever seen, so if their parish needs any landscaping, I'm sure he can handle it. He's a great priest, and so I feel blessed knowing that with Father King and with Father Brausch, you'll be in great hands. I take consolation also in knowing that at least I will have this Easter with all of you and a few months more, and knowing that I will still live at the seminary and carry on my duties there, and so you will see me and I will see you. We'll have more encounters as I walk through the neighborhoods or go to Salem Gardens or Pelican Reef or stop by. Having said that then, despite much sorrow, I'm also filled with gratitude. First of all, to Father King, I want to publicly thank him for his hospitality. More than 6 years ago, he welcomed me into this parish. He's been nothing but kind and generous. He's a great priest and a true spiritual father. I see how sometimes other parishioners suffer under the hands of their pastors. And you are truly blessed to have Father King here, and I want to thank him for all the goodness and kindness he has shown me. I also want to thank all of you. You too have opened your arms to me. I can't think of any time in the last 6 years that any one of you has been unkind to me or has said anything nasty about me. You have been great, and I care for you all deeply. I thank you for the great faith you have. You come here week after week, filled with faith and hope. I thank you for the love you show one another and your children and your grandchildren. I love the fact, and I want to thank you for the fact that you have opened your homes to me, your hearts to me, and have made me part of your family. And you have a deep place in my heart as well. I'm grateful for the opportunity and the real privilege I have had to serve you here at Guardian Angels. It's been a blessing for me to be able to leave my desk and to come to say Mass with the family of God. And so I have nothing but gratitude in my heart for all of you and for your great faith. I also want to thank Almighty God and His Mother. Without their help, I would be nothing at all. I thank them for the gift of my own vocation really is a joy to be a priest and to be your priest, at least for a little while longer. And so I thank God for all the blessings he has bestowed on me, despite my own unworthiness. So gratitude fills my heart. I do have, however, some regrets. I regret that I could not stay here forever. I regret that I have not been able to bring my parents down here to meet all of you so that they would know what wonderful people have been caring for their son. I regret those times that I have not been as holy as I ought to have been for you, that I have those times when I have been short with anyone or impatient, those times when I have rambled on and on in my homilies aimlessly. I am sorry for all of those things. I'm sorry for the fact that I rush here and rush there, sometimes even rushing through Mass, rather than stopping to contemplate the beauty that is before my eyes and spending more time with you, if only there were more hours in the day. And so for all my faults and failings, I ask for your pardon and forgiveness. Of course, I am sad today, and I will be sad on my last day here. But we'll just save that sadness for that one last day. The rest of the days, especially with the Easter season approaching, we can be happy and rejoice in our faith. Priests come and go, and sadly, I must go. But it is not the priest who saves us, but it is Jesus Christ who saves us. Jesus Christ, whom we need to encounter day after day. It is Jesus Christ whom we encounter, who forgives us our sins, who loves us when we were nothing. It is Jesus Christ who gives life-giving water, water welling up to eternal life. Priests come and go, but the love of God that comes to us through Jesus Christ remains. Priests come and go, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Together now, let us profess our faith.